Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The dance step bends it around to full forward. It is the bounce, the bump, supreme around the body. You are joking, just like that.
The 2024 Toyota AFL Premiership season.
Brioli out of the pack, Sora one way, cut back, the shimmy of the shake of the mate, hit it all, steps around the body, two goals in this corner.
Every game, every week.
To Bailey in the pocket and kicks one of the great grand final goals.
This is the most beautiful game in the world we're watching. You just can't take your eyes off it.
Majacek in the front. Gardner knocked it away. Nick Dacos, lightning hands. Here's the Ngoi moment. He unloads. Bang! You need your stars. And Collingwood stars. Just went and reached the cup back.
For 4-20 Pies, Australia's original fan food, welcome to AFL Nation.
G'day everybody, welcome to the MCG, round 6 Saturday afternoon, perfect conditions, a smattering of clouds in the sky, but otherwise it's a perfect early afternoon for what shapes a really important game. Port Adelaide, one of the standard setters through the early stages of the season, come to Melbourne to take on a Collingwood side that's just trying to crank its season into gear after those three early losses. They've won a couple in a row, perhaps a little lucky to get over the line against the Hawks and gather around. They've had a chance to regroup, recharge the batteries, and they come here today hoping to continue the momentum that they've established in the last couple. It's AFL Nation for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, and Victoria Police, made for more. Search police careers. Andy Marr, this is the pre-game show for Barclays Smokehouse. Ask for grandmother ham. It's delicious at your local deli and Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont's has everyday low price tiles from 1995. Jared Waitley will be joining us in commentary. Kane Corns is the man who's going to be telling us why this game's being won or lost throughout the afternoon, and he joins us in the pregame. Cornsy, lovely to see you.
Great to see you, Murray. What a day for football. Magnificent. Nothing better than a Saturday game at the MCG when the sun is shining. Beautiful conditions for both sides, and I think we'll get a pretty fast-paced, frenetic game. Not exactly sure where to put both of these sides, to be honest. I mean, Port Adelaide have started the season really in impressive fashion, but the question always remains, is what's the quality of their opposition been like? So Essendon, well, they looked okay last night. They dismantled them. They were really good against Melbourne. But then it's been Richmond and West Coast who have been the poorer sides. But they couldn't have asked for much more to start their season. I think their new recruits have fitted in pretty well. But it's a different looking lineup today. I just wonder about the midfield mix with Sweet coming in. They've been so dominant in all the metrics from their midfield. That's been their real strength, and that's been led by Ivan Soldo, who's been really good. But I suspect he's going to have to play some significant minutes forward. So Jordan Sweet going to the ruck in his first game for the club, how does that affect the dynamic? And then the Pies, what do we make of them? They haven't started the season like we thought they would. And they've got some challenges as well, personnel-wise. But we know on this ground, they rarely lose in front of their home fans. So, yeah, fascinating game. As there is, you know, six or seven fascinating games across this weekend. It's been amazing.
Yeah, it's a good Saturday to look forward to. Take us inside the Port Adelaide mindset when you come to the MCG. Is there an extra loading on the opportunity to play games of footy here with the September prizes in mind?
Yeah, I think there's an added responsibility to perform well, because as a football club, they're always demanding more access to the MCG. Yep. They're always a little bit upset when the fixture comes out and you get one, two, at max three sort of looks at the MCG, and you go, well, you know, if you want to win it all, it's here. And it's not, I guess it's not dissimilar to the other interstate clubs. Fremantle would be having the same discussion. Brisbane have had it for a while. although they were terrific here a couple of Thursday nights ago. But I think as a player, you want to play well where the grand final is played. So for the Port Adelaide players, and there's some young players in this lineup that haven't played here a lot, they'll want to perform well on the biggest ground in the land.
We'll have a deep dive into the intricacies of this one the closer we get to the siren. We're dressed by Ringers Western, whether it's the paddock or the pub. Ringers Western has the kit to keep you cool this summer. I think throughout the week last night, particularly the last couple of minutes of last night, is going to be broadly discussed, and there's a whole lot of other stuff within the game that will probably be pulled apart as well. It's just been a horror start, really, for Adelaide. I mean, had the Owies one been seen last week the way it should have been seen,
correct,
they're probably 0-6.
Had Harry taken a chest mark, yep, inside forward 50 with 2 minutes to go, good night, yep, really. and then that would have been an absolute disaster. So they were good enough to hang on, but gee, they've been poor.
Last night, Cornsy, I thought after the moment, you would have felt like the week before at Docklands, it kicks some momentum into their season. It gives them that little sense of, okay, we can play. We're a good team.
Mm.
They were. I mean, had Essendon been able to convert last night, it wouldn't have mattered whether the Draper free kick was paid or not.
No. I mean, they were all over them, weren't they?
Yeah.
Essendon in the first half, and Adelaide did well to have the score as close as it was. But even Matthew Nix at halftime, he's interviewed and he said, "Just we've played awful. Mm. We really have. Like, we're fortunate to be at halftime. We're able to regroup and assess some things. But the ball has lived in Essendon's forward half." And that was the case. You look at the entries, you look at all the scores, they were far the better side. I thought the pressure that the Bombers brought on Adelaide, they were unable to handle it. And how many times you see Adelaide just hack ball from D50 up into the wing? It was, yep, like kick and hope. It was almost like there was no method to what they were doing. I thought they were fumbly. But, yeah, 16-6 entries in the first quarter, and Essendon only had a 2-point lead. It could have almost been all over at half time. And then the Crows got going. They kicked 7 in a row. They were really efficient. I thought Jordan Dawson, the captain, really led from the front. Saligo's just been amazing. Yep. So I thought it was those two there. Okay, this is now going one way, and that is Adelaide at home with momentum. But Essendon have been pretty resilient this, yep, year. Like, apart from that Port Adelaide disaster, they've hung in there and been resilient. And then in the dying stages, they were good enough to hold on. Yep, there's the AFL come out and said the Draper one was a free kick. But also Langford was pinged for holding the ball, yeah, on the halftime siren, and that definitely wasn't a free kick. And there was some other moments in the game that you look at. But, yeah, unfortunately for Adelaide, probably season over. I think they play North next week, so you think they win that. But that's in Tassie, so it's probably not a guarantee. And then, yeah, disappointing from the expectations, certainly that I had on them and a lot of the football world had on them, that they have been unable to cope with for whatever reason.
So why not? What is it? I mean, so you've been able to put your finger on it?
I haven't really. Like, yeah, there's been, they haven't got their personnel right in terms of where their best players have played, and their midfield mix, they're very stubborn to change that, and they're very dour, and they've recruited that way as well. So there's only so much you can go to. But when you recruit, you know, players like Berry and Pedler, and these types that are very similar. You've got Berry in, yep, there as well, that to mix with Laird and Crouch. It hasn't been a great mix. And then they have an injury to Murray down back, so you're a bit vulnerable. Butts is out last night, so that really tests you. You go Young in your defensive half. And then some other players that you thought are ready to explode into their careers, and one of those is Fogarty, forward of the ball. And Phil Thorpe's the other, who's been injured. Take a little bit of pressure off Taylor Walker, who kicked 70 last year. Once again, they're so reliant on him because those two players haven't quite come on. So, yeah, they're not far away, as we saw last week, but getting close isn't good enough in a competition as even as this.
So what do you do with somebody like, I mean, we've been waiting for Fogarty for a while now. The number 32, the early days when he came in and threw his weight around and he looked like a young powerhouse, an elite kind of cult, and you're thinking, when this kid furnishes into the finished product, it's going to be, thanks, Taylor, you've been a magnificent servant, but hand it over to this bloke now.
Perfect.
They're a million miles away from that.
A million miles away. I had a discussion with someone who during the week, and we were speaking about Darcy Fogarty on another show that I did, and he said, this was off air, he said, he would be amazing for Geelong, and he would be a great replacement for Tom Hawkins, because the way that Chris Scott coaches Tom Hawkins, he doesn't ask him to do too much. He understands his limitations, so he says, basically stay within 30 metres of goal. No, I watch Fogarty, and he's leading up to the wings. He's getting the back line. He's marking the footy here, and then he's been forced to sprint back and be a threat closer to goal. Maybe they're asking him to do too much, and maybe with his physicality and his lack of perhaps endurance, they're best served to use him basically out of the goal square as an explosive forward, almost in a callback to time the way that it used to be played. And apparently that's the way that they ask of Hawkins. Mm. Stay closer to goal, do your damage 30 metres out or closer to goal, and then that's all we're asking, that's what we're going to judge. So maybe they've got that wrong. Maybe the shadow of Taylor Walker is too much for him. Maybe those two don't quite work together. They're not both blessed with speed, and they're almost similar types of players. So maybe we won't see the best of him until Walker leaves, or maybe he needs a change of environment and a different club. I don't know what the answer to it is, but all I know is year seven, year eight, he looked good last year at times, mid-30s goals, and you thought, okay, well, go from 35 to 50, and they've got a player. But yeah, this year he's been, I think he's kicked five goals for the year.
Mm. What about the Bombers? As we sit here now, they've got themselves inside the eight. Their percentage is, is poor, and I'm one of those old school blokes that still looks at percentage and reckon it tells you a little bit of a story.
It's a good measure, though, isn't it?
I reckon it is, yeah. But they've got four wins on the board, and they feel like with Harry Jones is starting to find his feet. He's probably had the four best weeks of his career consecutively. As Lloydy said after the game last night, I know you work with him in other performances, and I'm sure you'll talk about it during the week, but they've stiffened up their midfield. There's a bit of... They've gone from being a little bit one-sided in the midfield, all okay when it's going their way, but they've added, with Caldwell and Durham and...
Yep.
And Merritt's been magnificent,
and
obviously.
Before he was injured.
Yep. They've done this... They've done a nice little sort of...
Regeneration.
Subtle, they have a little bit, haven't they?
There's been a regeneration on the run, which Hobbs as well.
Yep, like, I think he's definitely
a player that you persist with. So about 4 weeks ago, I saw them play. I was like, Harry Jones did one or two things. I was like, this guy should never play VFL again. Yep. Like, he's been in and out. Every time you see him play, he does something. Okay, and it might only be seven touches a game, kicks one goal, but you go, gee, there's something there. And then all of a sudden you build on that. So it goes from doing one or two good things a game to three or four. Now he's doing five or six really good things. And then defensively he's joining in. He's standing up in big moments and kicking big goals. So just play him, and he's your perfect third tall, isn't he? Like, ideal. So then you go, well, Wright comes back in. We've got Langford and Jones. That's a nice.
And got Stringer floating around,
Then Gresham was important. I thought Gresham was really important last night. And he's starting to kick some goals. And then you chuck in the speed of Dale. That's a good forward six. I reckon that the balance of that is good. But you're right with the midfield, because Caldwell's been defensively. All they've spoken about in the last couple of years is we've got to be better defensively. And every number you look at with Essendon, you speak to the champion data guys, horrible defensively, horrible.
Yep.
And they know that, and it's been a big shadow looming over the club for so long. But then you go, okay, Durham has nine tackles last night. Caldwell has nine. There's 18 tackles. Merritt's leading the way. And has almost changed his game with the way that he goes about the defensive aspect of it. And then the rest will come along for the ride. So I just think they've been resilient. There hasn't been a brittle underbelly that there usually is with the Bombers. When they're challenged, they capitulate. And they did that against Port Adelaide. And hopefully that for them, that's the anomaly. But they'll get some players back. Like, Guelph is an important player, hasn't been there. Perkins, they'll get back in a week or two. Peter Wright's going to come back. Setterfield will come back to give him a big body. But... yeah, I think the one issue they've got is who rucks for them.
Mm.
Because I'm telling you, Draper's not a forward.
so
he does not look like a forward. He took one big mark late, but then he's an ordinary set shot. So he misses from 20 metres out because he doesn't have the technique with the set shot. But they clearly prefer Goldstein in ruck, which is amazing. And a credit to Goldie at his age to come into a new club and be the preferred ruckman. Wright comes back in. They can't play two rucks and Wright. So it looks to me as though Draper's going to be left out, which would be a huge call.
How much say do the midfielders have? When you've got two ruckmen vying for a position, like the two that you're talking about, how much do the blokes who were at their feet for a majority of game time have to say to line coaches and ultimately those who are selecting the team about who they prefer playing?
Yeah, so I don't think it's a discussion that you would have in a group, but say if I'm watching my midfield review with you, you're my midfield line coach on a Monday, that would come up. Who do you prefer roving to?
Well,
I just think Goldie's
And you're not
got...
potting the other bloke.
No, not at all. I just think Goldie's got a softer touch, and I think when Goldie's in the ruck, we're a better chance of winning it because of his ruck craft, whereas Draper's a bit more bash and crash, and if he wins the hit out, it's going to land 5 metres out instead of just nicely to where I've timed my run. So that information gets fed back through the midfield coach via you know, four or five midfielders, and then that midfield coach would then take it to the match committee meeting. You go, you know what, we're a better midfield, and the players would say this when Goldstein's in the ruck. Yeah. So last night, Goldie did 15 centre bounces, Draper did 10, and that says Goldstein always starts there. His numbers are better when you look at his ruck work and his hit-outs to advantage and all of those metrics as well. And Draper, of course, has had the interrupted pre-season, but he's there. Star ruckman who's going to be driving this midfield, or supposed to be driving it for the next 10 years. So it's a tad awkward. Of course, they're not going to play Goldstein every week because of his age, and they'll manage him, and Draper will definitely get a look at being the main ruckman at some stage. But in the coming weeks, I think it's a bit of an awkward one they're going to have to address.
There's a bit of a cult of personality with some players too. I reckon Sam Draper feels like such a big presence.
Does.
He's
yeah.
out there. He's an extrovert. He's jumping around after the game and doing the flop in front of the fans and sort of sticking it right up him after the final siren and all the rest of it. So he is a big presence, and that I reckon that plays somewhere into the broader consideration of where he sits in the scheme of things. Maybe they're a bit more balanced and measured about all of that internally. Signet's powering the call team. Power every moment with a Signet power bank. There's more from last night to have a chat about. We'll have a chat about this one in the lead-up. Look at all the other games that we've got on this fantastic Saturday of footy. It is the pregame show for Barclays Smokehouse. Ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. And Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont says everyday low price tiles from 1995. Great to have you with us at the MCG. Collingwood hosting Port Adelaide AFL Nation for Tyre Power, Australia's biggest independent tyre retailer, and Victoria Police made four more Search a Police Careers. Pregame show for Barclays Smokehouse. Their grandmother ham is magnificent. You get it from your local deli. And Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont has everyday low price tiles from 1995. Cornsey, our expert today, Jared's going to be joining us in the call. Ben McKay, so we're having a chat about Essendon. I want you to put your, and I know you love talking about contracts. When I Googled the first story about Ben McKay's contract, of course you're the one, you're the source
being quite, it.
Quoted about the merits of the league. But he has made, I feel like he's made a subtle but manifest difference to the way they feel about themselves as a footy team, Essendon. I don't know whether you agree or disagree
with
that.
I think he's been better than that.
Yeah.
I think he's provided more than that. I think he's been rock solid. I think what he's done that's impressed me is nullifying the opposition's best, but also when the footy's been there to intercept mark, he's always been pretty good at that. But not huge numbers if you look at it, but I think he's just been, rock solid, but also been able to put the magnet on the opposition's best key forward like they did last night with Walker and go, bang, I'm going to get that job done. So we're six games into a six-year deal, so we'll judge it in the fullness of time, and that will take some time. But right now, I don't think they could have asked for much more.
So heavily front-loaded. I think it averages out to be about $850 a year over the length of the contract, whatever it is. The question I ask off the back of that, Sam Taylor's out of contract at the end of next year. So 2025 is going to be a big, unless he decides to commit prior to that, he's going to be one of the big conversation points, you would have thought, from a contract perspective in the next 18 months or until he signs, one way or the other. What's he worth? If Ben McKay's worth that, what's it going to cost for the Giants to keep Taylor or another club to prize him out of there?
Well, I've got to get my head around the salary cap increase. Like we're talking big, we're talking 60 players that are going to earn $1 million+.
Yep.
So is he in the best 60? Yep. Is he in the best 10? Probably. And are you going to have to pay extra to get him out of where he is? Absolutely. And then you're going to go to a club and we're seeing interest. There'll be interest everywhere because you saw the interest in McKay.
Yeah,
it wasn't
yeah,
just
yeah.
Essendon. Yep. Hawthorn wanted to have a real crack, and there was a couple of others that wanted to have a real crack. So I don't know. It probably makes him the highest paid player in the game, doesn't it? At 1.4, 1.5. We're hearing McCluggage at 1.3 now, whether that's
so who's more
inflated
valuable?
Numbers.
Who's
correct.
Well, we love Huey. Like, he's a terrific player, but who's more valuable?
Mm. Yeah. Well,
out of those two?
Sam Taylor is, of course. I'm just trying to work out whether he's obviously the free agency status is important as well, because the beauty of McKay was, okay, we'll pay you big money, but we don't have to give anything to get you.
Yeah.
So we'll get you for free.
Yep.
In terms of, whereas if Taylor, I'll get Benny Lyon to look up whether he is a restricted free agent at the end of when his contract is expired. If you have to trade for him, he's a restricted free agent. So, the same applies, really. I mean, the Giants can match it like they did with Cameron, Jeremy Cameron, and then you force the club into a trade. But that is rare that that happens. So you can get him for nothing, which probably adds, you know, an extra few hundred thousand to the contract as well.
Yeah. It's going to be a fascinating watch. There's no question about that. So we'll dive into this one on the other side of the break when we work through our various categories in the lead up to the opening bounce, Collingwood v Port Adelaide. Let's have a look at the other games today. Following us over at the Docklands straight after this one is GWS coming to town to take on Carlton. Are the Blues just about a breaking point in terms of not looking to make excuses here, but every club gets to a point. Like Richmond's clearly arrived at that point where the list just they can't cobble together a team that's going to be, and Hawthorn's clearly struggled with the four or five that they haven't been able to pick. Are they just about at that stage, Carlton?
They're not there yet, but they're getting close. Albeit the Giants are missing that man, Taylor, and Canelio, who's been an important piece for them. So all of a sudden, you're looking at the Giants' key defenders and you're going, okay, it's Jack Buckley, who's really good.
Yep.
Connor Iden.
Yep.
But Lekalier,
throw Himmelberg back.
Yeah, but Lekalier comes in and he's probably going to have to do a job on one of them. They got two rucks as well, the Blues, so can they test them with height forward? Perhaps De Koning plays a bit more forward than what he did last week, and Pitnet does the grunt work in the ruck. So that would be the advantage for the Blues. Under the roof, Curnow, Mackay, De Koning if he's forward versus Buckley, Iden, Lekalier, Himmelberg.
So
can they service those enough? They probably can. It's one of those 50-50 games. I was staying at the same hotel as the Giants, actually, and saw Adam Kingsley this morning, and I said, you feeling good? And he said, yeah, feeling good, but who knows?
Yeah.
Like, he goes, who'd you pick out of St Kilda and Western Bulldogs? Oh, I picked Western Bulldogs. He said, who'd you pick last night? I said, well, I picked Adelaide. I thought they'd win comfortably. In fact, I sent Jared a text message because I saw his tips in the Herald Sun. I said, you've picked Essendon. What are you doing?
He's a genius.
And he's a genius.
Well, that's why he's got 4-4 on the board. 100%. I mean, you don't get those sorts of numbers unless you're a genius.
He made a good point. Like today, I said to him today, who wins this? I don't know. Who wins Sydney Gold? So that's the answer. But I think McGovern hurts, Saad hurts, and when you put in Chera, and Motlop's the one that really is frustrating.
Well, they just keep getting injured at training.
They raved about Motlop's preseason, and he was the one that was going to go. Like, if you spoke to the Blues during the preseason on radio, who's had a great Motlop? Look what it, and then he gets injured. So, yeah, the flair and offense that they've lost with these hamstring injuries, particularly in their back half, you chuck in Doherty as well, who's been gone for the majority of the year. It's starting to build.
Geelong away to Brisbane, dealt obviously the big card during the week, the Lions with the Charlie Cameron reversal at the tribunal. What have you been, mate? Where have you got the Cats pegged? I mean, we know Brisbane are nowhere near where most of us expected them to be. Geelong have been rock solid, but how good's their rock solid been?
I've got them. Kingy asked me on radio yesterday, he said, if I gave you an imaginary $100 note and you had to put it on one team to win the premiership right now, who would it be? I said Geelong. I think they're 7 games left at home. Their ability to win the first 5 so that they can manage their players as they do better than anyone, and they've done it already. They've already started managing players, and we're at round 6. So Hawkins comes in free. I love their ins tonight. Like, I've picked Brisbane, but, gee, I love Geelong's ins. So Colin Jasny, Dangerfield fresh, Hawkins fresh. Conway fresh, the ruckman. Then you can rest Reece Stanley, who was excellent last week. You can manage Tui. So I just think they do it better. Yeah, I'm a little bit worried about their midfield, but it looks better if Guthrie comes back and they can get, you know, largely through with Dangerfield unscathed. Jeremy Cameron clearly is playing higher to protect them from that midfield stuff, and Brian Myers is coming in and playing as an extra midfielder. I love their back 6. De Koning's a star. Henry's healthy. Tom Stewart, we know about. Colin Jasny's rock solid. Holmes gives you some flair. And their front 6, I think, is the best at the moment. So Henry, Hawkins, Cameron, Myers, close, and Stengel.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty. And then you've got 7 games left at GMHBA.
Yeah.
And you've won 5 already.
Yeah.
There's top 4.
So do you find a bit, just in terms of what their high watermark is, right? Just, are they good enough to win a premiership? When it's flat out and everyone's going beautifully on top of the ground in September, is Geelong going to be...
I think they are.
Do you find a bit... Like, it's round 6, so it's a million miles away from where we're going to end up. But if Brisbane can click tonight and be something like... You know, Bailey's not there, so he's a big part. But if they get going tonight, Brisbane, and Geelong can meet it, and maybe even beat them up there.
I think for me, like, it would be very much one of, if not, and today's game is also in this category as well, the Giants and the Blues. But the winners of these big games probably start to emerge and go, okay, this is, even Brisbane with where they're coming from, I think if they win convincingly tonight against Geelong, who have got everyone really back, you go, okay, this is a team that can win the premiership.
Yeah.
Same goes for the Giants. If Giants come to Melbourne.
What about the mob here today?
Yeah, maybe. What,
the away teams have got so much in terms of their their long-term credibility. They've got credibility already, but in terms of the scope, if the away teams that we're talking about all get victories today, that franks everything that might be lying in front of them.
Particularly, the interstate teams coming to Melbourne, and if they can do that, like Port Adelaide here against the reigning Premier and GWS against Carlton, they've got some injuries, but they don't play a lot of games at Marvel and they travel everywhere. Okay, they're starting to emerge. And, I think the winner out of tonight's game as well would be very much considered, if not the premiership favourites, one of.
And is it low-key a derby, I reckon, as we've ever... I mean, Harley Reid's been the buzz, obviously, but outside of him, how low-key a derby has it been built up?
Oh, that rivalry is just evaporating. I don't think we can call that a rivalry anymore because I think they've won their last five, haven't they?
Yeah.
Fremantle. And look, it was great that West Coast did what they did last week and Elliot Yeo back into some really good form and Kelly and McGovern and Barras and these types. But Reid's the story. I think Fremantle will take a few more risks and try and score a bit more heavily.
Major partner is the TAC. Police can be anywhere, anytime. A message from the TAC. Need a reno and on a budget? Check out Beaumont's everyday low price tile range. Beaumont Max with tiles from $19.95 every single day. It's a huge range of tiles at crazy low prices. Wall tiles, floor tiles, subways and more. You'll be happy you choose Beaumont's and save. This is the pregame show for Barclays Smokehouse. Ask for Grandmother Ham at your local deli. And Beaumont Tiles. Beaumont has everyday low price tiles from $19.95. The banners are out. The teams are about to arrive on the MCG. We're getting close to the bounce of the ball here. Collingwood and Port Adelaide at the MCG.